Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hey, welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. I am your host, Chris Miles, cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. And I'm excited to have you here today because we've got a great show just in store about the parable of the sower. Before we get into that, I just want to remind you to check out our website, www.moneyripples.com. Check out our free blogs. There's podcasts that we have as well, other episodes of the show. And check out great events that we have coming up as well. In fact, we're about to wrap up 2015, so make sure you do not miss out on that. Also, be sure that if you've got questions, you want to be able to figure out how to apply these things in your own life, or you want to have ideas for future episodes, email me, Chris at MoneyRipples.com. That's C-H-R-I-S at MoneyRipples.com. So today, I actually want to talk about something that comes from the Bible. In the New Testament, particularly in Mark chapter 4. Now, why am I bringing this up? Well, because I want to really talk about something that does come up often in Christian culture, and especially when it comes to money. And this is actually inspired by a speech given by Dallin H. Oaks, where he talked about the parable of the sower. Just as a brief recap, they were talking about the word of God being like seeds. And there's the first, you know, the first group of people is basically the seeds are thrown on the ground, but it hits the ground. It's it's basically, it falls by the wayside and the birds come and eat it. The second group of people are those where the seeds fall on stony ground. They can't get root. The sun scorches it. It dies. The third one, which we'll talk about a lot, is that the seeds fall among thorns. So it gets some root and it gets some growth, but then the thorns choke it out. And then the fourth one is that it falls in good ground, a good soil, and it grows the way it should. And I want to talk about the thorns specifically because he brought up this very scripture. And this is in Mark chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. And it says, "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." So it talks about the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. So essentially, these things become thorns. Now, riches, it's always interesting because riches within the Christian society has actually been viewed as a very evil thing. And so I want to talk about the difference between what is said here and what's a more of an acceptable way from a Christian type of perspective of how we view money. Because this is something that I see a lot of times, especially being here in Utah. I've lived here now for 16 years, very heavy Christian state. And a lot of times money becomes a big hindrance for people. Not so much because it has to be, but because there's a culture that money, you know, the love of money is the root of all evil, right? Some people might say the money is, but most people would agree it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. But some people are so afraid, they're like, well, at what point do you draw the line? When do you actually love money versus love God? You know, where's that line, that fine line? And so I want to talk about the distinction because there is a much better way to view money that's healthy, a better way where you can still put God first, but money can still become a big part of your life as well without getting in the way. And so this is something that I love to talk about. And so let me go into Dallin H. Oaks' speech here where he talks about this. This is a speech he actually gave back in April of this year of 2015. He says, "I will speak first of the deceitfulness of riches. Wherever we are in our spiritual journey, whatever our state of conversion, we are all tempted by this. And here's the key," he says. He says, "When attitudes or priorities are fixed on the acquisition, use, or possession of property, we call that materialism. So much has been said and written about materialism that little needs to be added here. Those who believe in what has been called the theology of prosperity are suffering from the deceitfulness of riches." And he goes on further to say, The possession of wealth or significant income is not a mark of heavenly favor, and their absence is not a evidence of heavenly disfavor. And so I want to talk about that. And he even says down below, he says, he was not identifying an evil in the possession of riches, but an evil in that follower's attitude toward them. Now, I love he made that distinction because that's the big thing. Now, we talk about prosperity and abundance a lot on this show. Now, are we teaching a theology of prosperity? Absolutely not. Are we teaching that there are principles of prosperity? Yes. And these are principles that can align up with what he's talking about. Here's the thing I see that becomes the biggest thing. And he said this here. He says where materialism is. And it says that's where, again, our focus is on acquisition, use, and possession of property. You know, so let's talk about that. Acquisition, use, and possession of property. In materialism, when your focus, and even in your life, when your focus is all about money and acquiring money and building assets, and that's all you do, your life becomes empty. It becomes materialistic. There's no real depth to it. Just like they're saying, like even if it plants in that soil, thorns will choke it and eventually it'll die. That is the same thing in our lives, is that if you're focused purely on the money, and I've seen this happen to people, various people in my life, when all of a sudden money becomes the focus, this is when they tend to lose their families, they tend to lose almost everything that's good in their lives, and all they're left with is money, and in many cases they lose that too. I'm here to say that definitely the focus should be first and foremost is building the kingdom of God, building up really in a way that's able to serve your fellow men. Now, many people will see this money, and some people will take this and they'll say, well, Chris, yeah, I'm just going to make a lot of money and then give it all away. That's not what I'm talking about, and that's actually not a wise use of stewardship in many cases, because you don't want to have the blind lead the blind. You don't want to throw money at people that aren't good stewards. The whole point of us on this planet is stewardship. What's the stewardship of our gifts and our talents? The stewardship of our money and other resources we're given, of our time and everything we have. We have a stewardship of that while we're here alive. How are we using that to serve other people? What are we doing to make lives better while we're here on this planet for a fixed period of time or for a limited amount of time? That's the real question. And so we're talking about the attitudes towards money. He's talking about the attitude that's really bad. Is that it's not about possessing the money. Having money is not a bad thing, like many people believe. Some people believe that if they have more money that they'll become corrupt. I'm here to tell you that money is only a magnifier of the soul. And if you become corrupt, it's because the corruption was already there. It just allowed it space and room to grow. So money just allows you to express more of who you are. So yes, that's why your focus should not be on money and just acquiring money. When you start to put that very limited, very short-term focus, you lose the rest of what's rich in life. When you just focus on that, you lose everything else because you can't expect to focus on money and have riches because more money has been proven not to make people any happier. Sure, there's a certain level of comfort and ease that can come with it, but there's also money only magnifies more of who you are. So if you're depressed, if you're a miserable human being without money, you will be a very miserable human being with more money. I will promise you that. I've watched it happen to people. I've watched people not transform into something different, but express more of who they've already been. And so you need to work on your attitude of money right now. How do you view it? How do you view it in a way that's more of a steward perspective, not just from a place of accumulation? This is also why I really, really hammer on not just trying to go and save up money to, you know, someday maybe retire if you live long enough. And maybe if you're even alive to enjoy that money, you might maybe serve people at that point. Many people think they would acquire money first, and once they've acquired enough money, then they can serve people. This is false, because again, it only magnifies more of who you already are. So if you acquire more money, if you're not serving people along the way, you won't serve people when you have more anyways. And so you've got to be in a place where you're serving people. Serve them, and a lot of things you can do for people. Some of the best ways you can serve are free. Now, it may not be free. Now, I'm talking about free with money. It might be require more time. It require labor, intention. It might require a lot of effort. But I'm here to tell you that if you're willing to serve people now, even when money is in shorter supply, you will be much more willing to serve when money is in greater supply. And so our focus should be is not just acquiring money and cashing it away in a bank and letting it sit there and accumulate and do nothing for the human race. while it's sitting there. You're just letting it sit there in a bank and you're hoping and praying, or you're letting it invest in crummy mutual funds and hoping and praying the market smiles on you. And when it doesn't, it just puts you in a longer long haul and you sit there waiting longer, not letting that money serve people. That's where the problem comes in. This is why I'm so against what's being taught in financial advising, because everything they teach you violates that principle. They violate the principle of usury, because banks teach you not to use money. They want to use your money while you let it sit around and create quote-unquote compound interest, which is not the eighth wonder of the world. Never was. That quote is false, by the way. Einstein never said that about money. He had nothing to do with that at all. I've never found that quote ever to be existing other than from financial planners and people in network marketing that have quoted that. Everywhere else, compound interest is not the eighth wonder of the world. In fact, compound interest and the deception of it, as people see it, it actually can hurt you more than help you. Because when that money is just sitting there compounding, and it's not serving anybody, there are people's lives that are not being served. There's people that are not being helped right now. Your life is not being bettered right now by that money. How can you use that money today? How can you use that to create real wealth today? How can you turn that money and say, well, how can we use this now to serve people and create value in people's lives and solve problems? How can you use that in your businesses? How can you use it to help people today and allow yourself to express yourself more today, serve more people, and the direct byproduct is more money? Because the more you serve people, the more you give things that are value, and you ask for value in return, the more money you can make as part of that value that comes back in return. So if you want your money to make more money, figure out how you can actually add more value to people's lives and solve problems for them and do something that's useful. Put that money to use as stewards. And watch how that money will not only grow, but you'll find out that that money is now being used in a purpose to actually build up the kingdom of God, because you are using your gifts and your talents and the things that you've been blessed with in the service of others. That's the power behind this story here. And that's why I love that he gave this talk, because it wasn't just about making more money or just, you know, it's not the fact that you have riches. It's the fact that people are putting their whole focus on riches at the expense of others. And I'm here to tell you that it's actually through serving others and allowing your money to be used today, not saving up for 30 or 40 years from now, and that if it's even there 30 or 40 years from now, or if you're even around 30 or 40 years from now, it's not about that. It's about what you can do with that money right now. That is the kind of power they're talking about. If you're what you're doing is accumulating money, just stashing away for retirement someday so you don't have to work, because you heard that, you know, Adam was told to only work by the sweat of his brow until he's age 65, which was not true. It was work by the sweat of your brows all the days of your life. And who are you working for? You're working for other people. And when you work for other people, you're only working for God. When you serve other people, you are serving God. So how are you using that money to serve others, to then ultimately serve God and bless lives and answer prayers right now? That's the real kind of question you should be asking. So as you're reading this story in Mark chapter 4, you know, I challenge you to really look at it from this standpoint. Focusing on money can be destructive, but focusing on using money in the ability to serve others is where you can become a better steward, a wiser steward. You can amplify and edify others and strengthen others. And you can actually be able to offer more of your gifts to serve more people and bless more lives. So focus around that. Don't focus on just the money. When you listen to the show, don't only just focus on money. Focus on how you're able to use money to serve people. And ultimately, that it is about serving people as the central focus. Money just allows you to magnify and express it better. So this is Chris Miles here. Thank you for joining us today. Be sure to join us next week and every week. If you've got questions, if you've got ideas, let me know. Shoot me an email, chris@moneyripples.com. Again, take what these words are. Apply them into your life. Don't just listen to them. Don't be a hearer only, but be a doer of the word. Take these words, apply them, and make it a prosperous week. We'll see you later, everyone.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at moneyripples.com. Join us next time on The Chris Miles Money Show.